And that was Peter Tosh, No Nuclear War. Thank you. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. The name of the show, in case you don't know, is Bathrob Spear's Broadsides. I'm Bathrob Spear Robert, as I sometimes call myself. And if you have comments about the show, if you have contributions you want to make to it, if you have reports from the street you want me to air, or just want to get in touch for one reason or another, the number is 831-423-4833. So give a call and you'll either get through to me or my machine, in which case you'll most likely get a call back if there is any way to call you back. You can also find me down at the Red Church, usually on Monday around 6, not always, but often. In fact, that's where I'm going to play a little audio now from last Monday's, I guess 2 or 3 days ago, at the Red Church, the Calvary Episcopal Church. That's the one at Lincoln and Cedar, right next to the Farmer's Market spot on Wednesday when they do the Farmer's Marketing.
Sir, Milligan got caught stealing from me last night. They stole my phone. They stole my phone.
Bummer.
And, oh, a bummer for them. And they threatened me, and the guy almost freaking, he was putting the gloves on and hit me. He knows I'm working for the sheriff, and he knows I'm CHP, and he doesn't give a fuck. So I finally got a hold of the PD last night, and we made out a report. That's the truth.
May your phone come back to you, man.
I hope so, because I needed it to last night.
Take it.
What?
Okay, next time we talk more.
Yeah, I don't want my truck down. They stole my truck.
Take it. So I'm coming into the Red Church. I'm rushing around looking for people that I can't find. Hey, no laughing out loud. Come on.
What's so funny, you guys? I was listening about the River Street Camp song.
Was there a River Street Camp song?
Well, the chorus of it is called River Street Camp. So I thought it was pretty funny.
Is Mike on the piano singing it, or...?
I think I just heard the words come out of his mouth a few multiple seconds ago.
I missed that. Oh well. Anything happened in the last week you want to comment on?
Well, Food Not Bombs is doing well.
Last week it's always
the
same.
We're having good volunteers and everything seems to be working out again. And
are you indoors or outdoors?
I'm a little bit of both.
No hassles?
Yeah, it's just basically taking stuff to the walk-in fridge and being supervisor of the two outdoor tables of
this is your Food Not Bombs task.
People cutting this and chopping that.
Any hassles for yourself in terms of where you sleep, wandering around during the day, what happened?
Well, I did get squirted awake this morning by a janitor.
Squirted awake, but
yes.
But he didn't piss on you.
No, he did not piss on me.
That's
but
good.
He did squirt me awake with Windex.
With Windex, he wanted to clean your glasses.
I either clean my glasses or
clean your clock.
Or, take the awful mildew smell out of my sleeping bag.
Very sweet of him.
Yes.
Did you advise him that that was inappropriate behavior on his part?
Yes. Believe me, I was up on both of my feet with both of my shoes on, and he was walking away very briskly.
Where was this?
This is in a very historic area that has lots of rainforest-like environments. And
city in the city limits or elsewhere?
I would say it's around. Where is that place? Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
That complex over there with the Woodstock Pizza.
I know that place.
CVS. The building right next to that.
So you were there. What time did this happen?
Oh, sometime around 7 o'clock this morning.
And did you get any warning? Did you say anything? Get up or I'll Windex you?
No, I woke up to the fine mist of ammonia in my nostrils.
What did this guy look like?
He was very Hispanic.
Was he a uniformed individual?
He did have a mustache, and he liked giving out a giggle.
Did he have a uniform on?
I think it was a navy. Navy uniform.
So it wasn't a park or rec ranger or a security guard?
No, 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 no. Just a
private,
just,
private individual
just
trying
a,
to help you get up.
Just a janitor. Just
wanted to clean your glass.
He wants to keep his job, probably.
I'm not sure if he thinks his job is Windexing
his
you.
His job or keep his teeth.
Well, he probably why he got, why he retreated so quickly.
Yes.
And we've been talking to
Travis.
Of course. Thank you, Travis.
Or Fish.
Or Fish. Any street reports?
And now for a little variety, I'm going to intersperse this usual Red Church report with sort of articles from the paper. Here's one from, look, it's like today's Santa Cruz Urinal, actually the Santa Cruz Sentinel. It's headlined, Winter Shelter Plans Cause Stir. Housing Developer Public Outreach Requirements Upped. And I'm noticing the, among the Santa Cruz's most contentious topics, homeless facilities and housing development discussions filled the docket at Tuesday's Santa Cruz City Council meeting. This is a story by Jessica York. While the city steps back on its efforts to locate a temporary homeless shelter, that is to say, has nothing to say whatsoever about it, really, the council and public questioned the city's backup plan to remodel past year's winter shelter program through extra beds at the Homeless Service Center. And again, as Brent Adams commented, this isn't a winter shelter program where you can drop in. You have to be a part of a pathway to housing unless they're changing the criteria at the Homeless Services Center, or lack of services center, as I call it. Extra tents at the River Street Camp, and that's a place where you have to also get into the program. And it's not an emergency drop-in place. And, in fact, you can't even walk up there or walk away. You have to be transported by shuttle. And then, finally, a safe parking program, which isn't for, again, people who are, most of homeless people who are on foot, but only for those with vehicles. So this whole idea that there's any winter shelter program at all is a fancy. It's a fanciful, it's a lie, actually. I mean, why not speak truth here? Councilwoman Rochelle Naroyan asked city manager's office staff about what type of oversight the city would have over the disparate efforts, whether or not all would remain accessible during daylight hours. And in fact, I don't think any of them will be, except for the River Street Campground, and that only to the residents that are inside, not to the community generally or their friends or their visitors. Again, this kind of special, treating the homeless as some kind of toxic substance that has to be handled very carefully, isolated, and contained. But again, it's not winter shelter. It is a particular program that they're continuing rather than provide winter shelter, and so they're lying about it. Maybe they're just confused. I don't want to be generous that way, though. Whether or not local homeless people should be given preference over newcomers, and that Brent Adams discussed that, and she was told the details of the winter shelter operations were still in development, adding that limiting who can access the shelters could run afoul of discrimination laws. And you heard that, too, before from Brent. I'd really like that examined because I see people who are currently suffering out on the streets who are here, so my hope is that we could craft some sort of rules and regulations that give those folks who are here today a preference, Naroyan said. Rochelle Naroyan is hardly the person to be talking with great care and love about homeless people because, as I've said numerous times on the air, she championed a program to criminalize people in their RVs at night, not just who are sleeping, but anybody even who parks their van and walks away from it anywhere in the city of Santa Cruz. Now, that was pushed back by some of us. But she's not interested in this, except as a way of criticizing the program that currently exists, because I think, I think she's just generally hostile to these kinds of programs, suspicious of them, and represents this sort of paranoid, privileged element in the community. When questioned on the logistics of adding new bed spaces to existing facilities, principal management analyst Susie O'Hara said that a 16-foot-wide path at the camp, which was previously a fire path, I believe, for the fire engine or for the shuttle, I'm not sure which, could be reduced and large dumpster site on-site removed. You'll hear another opinion from a woman who has spent time there, Mary, who's been outside as well, who takes a different view after this. I've read this article and after the Red Church interviews are played. At the Pauley loft, an unused pantry space could be converted into a 20-bed addition for the winter, she added. Again, a 20-bed addition for those who are in a program, unless they change their rules. And, of course, it would be. I mentioned at the city council two nights ago, why not use some of this $30 million bond that they're getting, although Brent has claimed that that's not involved with any of these particular expansions, but they must have the money they're using for these expansions, to restore meals that were removed from the Homeless Lack of Services Center back in June of 2015. Meals for the entire homeless community. Anyone who's hungry could come in. That's gone. There's no such thing now. You have to be in their programs. Continuing, some community speakers questioned how enough people could be fit into existing locations because it's already crammed at the River Street Campground or the Boneyard Barbed Wire Deluxe. If the operations were the most cost-effective, that is to say, spending, as Brent has pointed out, $80,000 or $90,000 a month on this is a huge amount of money for 60 people for a month who are living in tents. And if there are reaching enough recipients, something that Brent and I also brought up, pointing out that even if you did have a restoration of the winter shelter program from last year, which only served about 100 people, maybe 110, that leaves hundreds and hundreds of people outside who are guaranteed no kind of amnesty or protection from criminalization and harassment by both police, rangers, and vigilantes. Dora Berlang, a downtown streets team worker and River Street Camp shuttle driver, urged the council to keep the River Street encampment going due to the good she sees it's doing its residents. Sure, do it, keep it open, but what about the rest? What about the huge amount of money that's being spent? I mean, you've heard it from Brent, and it's hard to deny his perspective on this. Some of these people never thought they'd call a place a home again. Yeah, it's a tent, they're on platforms, but it's home for them. They can leave their belongings there and not worry that they're going to come back and that they're not going to be there. They have showers, they have meals, they have conversations. Don't take it away from us. So perhaps he lives there. I guess he does. He's a downtown streets team worker and River Street Camp shuttle driver. It doesn't mention that he lives there, but the us may mean him as well. Also, the question arises for me, and I kind of tried to sound this out with Brent, but didn't really get much of an answer. Doesn't this kind of produce a lot of resentment against this group of people who are living there, who are sort of now suddenly specially privileged? Their tents, their camp, are safe from police harassment. In fact, they're surrounded by cops, I suppose, supposedly for their protection. There are three levels of policing, the internal security people, the first alarm security that are right outside, and then the police station, mobile police station parked nearby. Whereas people who are setting up their own tents on the levee have to risk their property being seized and stolen by the same Parks and Rec rangers. I guess Parks and Rec rangers are not involved with the River Street campground, but it's the same city funding, authorizing, training the same people. And that's the part of this article, Winter Shelter Plans Cause Stir, in the Thursday Sentinel that actually covers this issue. Let's get back to the Red Church and some of the voices from there.
Radio. Any reports from the street? Street reports of any kind? No. No reports. Any reports from the Chronicle or from the street?
Not today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any reports? No. Any street reports for free radio? Anything you want to say to the people? You know, stuff that's happened to you outside, things you think people should know about, life on the streets, if you're outside.
Hey. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll talk about it later. I'm just getting used to it. I'm just seeing how everything works. So I don't know everything yet. But I find the people very kind. Very sweet.
No ticketing from the cops?
Oh, no. Nothing like that for me. No.
Are you sleeping outside?
No.
So you're fortunate in that regard. And we've been talking. What's your name? If you want to say it. You don't have to say
it. Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm Robert. Cheers. Thank you. Should be on free radio on Thursday night. I'll give you a card if you want.
Thank you.
What are you growing in your garden?
Hopefully the strawberries will come in.
I see.
That's all.
All right, then. We'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any reports from the street?
Nope.
Thank you.
I got my ID. I'm about to get my social, and then I'll be fine.
Then just
that's the report.
Okay, good. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Any street reports? Hey, man, any reports from the street?
Nothing in the street, but a guy at Palmar died the other day.
Tell me about that.
His name is Robert Burns. He wore shorts. He used to sit outside in front of the Palmar like most days.
Did he have a street name? Or?
No, that was his name, Robert. We called him Robert.
How old was he? What did he die of?
70, about 70, something like that.
Did you know him for long? Or?
Yeah, I knew him for a long time.
And anything people should remember about him that you want people to know?
Nice guy. He's a good guy. Good dude.
And we've been talking with?
Sorry to hear him go. Sad to hear him go. Matt.
Thank you, Matt. All right. Any reports from the street, sir?
Yeah. They have new cops out there that are just jackasses trying to be tough guys. You would not believe how childish some of them act out there. It's unbelievable. Going up and saying, "Are you still around here? You still around here?" I said, "Look, I'm not going to be bullied." And they just kept acting like a juvenile, unintelligent, a bully, frankly. The new cop had him last night come out there, and they go get the wrong guy. And we're telling him, stupid, that's not the right guy, you know?
Do you remember the names of any of these new cops?
No, I should have got it, but, yeah, he was just, you know, I obeyed basic orders and stuff, but he doesn't have any right to tell me to leave an area or something. He's not the courts.
Where did this happen?
Pacific Avenue, right by where we were playing. We were just playing music, and then one of our friends was going wild, and he put his hands on a girl, and some of the people chased him around a little bit to get him away from her. And then the cop goes after one of the people who was restraining the girl, who actually saved my guitar from the guy who was crazy, who picked up my guitar and tried to run off. You know, so I kind of owed it to step in and say, hey, that's not the right guy. And then he didn't give a damn. He was just, yeah, he didn't care. He wasn't there to do anything. He's just, you know, to try and be.
When did this happen?
I'm going to say about 8 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock at night last night. We were just out there on the avenue. We'd been playing all night. It'd been a beautiful night.
Will you be playing again tonight?
Yes, we shall. Yes, we shall. We had a lot of girl power out there, more girl power than the Powerpuff Girls. It was awesome. It was just awesome.
Power outside the Palomar.
Yes, that's right. In that general, we were in front of Del Williams, I think, at that time. Good night to get away from in front of the Palomar, if we didn't have to be. And but, yeah, we'll be at the Palomar, of course.
And we've been talking with?
Ricardo.
Thank you, Ricardo.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right, man. Any reports from the street? Any street reports?
Yeah. I got pushed off by the cops the other day doing artwork down here. I wasn't even flying a sign, nothing. I was just sitting there doing artwork, minding my own business, sitting on the street. They wanted to give me a $150 ticket.
Where was this?
It was right on Pacific, down by the Catalyst. I was just sitting there enjoying some music, listening to the music out of the Catalyst, drawing. I wasn't even asking nobody for nothing. I wasn't doing nothing, bothering nobody. I was trying to sit out of the way, on like closest to the road as I could off the sidewalk.
Was it a cop or a ranger?
Cop. Santa Cruz PD.
Do you know his name?
I'm not sure, but he was kind of stocky, had dark hair, real young. He looked younger than me. I'm 26, so, like, he's just growing his balls, acting big, you know, flexing his muscles.
What did he say to you?
He told me to get the hell off the sidewalk, and if I didn't move, that he was going to ticket me again, and he was going to make sure he ran me out of town.
Now, he had ticketed you before?
Yeah, he ticketed me a week ago. Like, I just moved here to town. Like, I moved back to town. I lived here for 4 years in the past. And he just ran me out, like, gave me bad vibes. Like, I didn't move back here to deal with that. Like, I work. I have a full-time job. I just
work.
I do carpentry, like freelance carpentry work, masonry. I'm a certified mason and welder and carpenter. But, you know, it's just, it gives me, like, no pride in my town when I get treated like that. Like, I'm just down on my luck a little bit right now. Work's not as steady as I would hope it be.
How long have you left town for?
I left town for 2 years, and I just came back. Like, I've been home for almost a month now. But it's just crazy how much things have changed in 2 years.
Tell me about the changes.
It's bad. There's a lot of bad drugs around, and they're still hustling the homeless. Like, take care of the problems, not the people who are out here trying to make an honest living because they're struggling. I'm an artist. I play guitar. I play drums. I do artwork. And it's pretty bad when you can't even be an artist in the town you love. Like, I moved back here because I love Santa Cruz. It's the only place I'd rather be. But I'd rather, I don't want to be here if I'm going to get treated like dirt.
Any witnesses around when this happened?
Yeah, there was a couple of guys around, like other homeless men.
What was their reaction?
Their reaction was pretty much the same. They were like, come on, man, like, he's not doing nothing. He's just drawing. He's not even asking for money. He's not spanging.
Seated within 14 feet of a building?
Yes, sir, I was.
Criminal.
Yes, sir. You know, it's just bad. You can't even sit down. Can't even rest your feet if you've been walking all day.
Well, it's good exercise to keep moving at all times.
That's what they say. But, you know, the body needs rest just as much as it needs motion. A body in motion tends to break down faster than a body that is in motion then takes frequent breaks.
Well, rent a hotel room.
With no money, am I going to rent a hotel room when work isn't consistent and steady?
Or as the police officer would say, it's not my problem.
Yeah, I've gotten that too. He said, we'll buy a bus ticket to get you out of town, but we're not going to help you live.
Interesting. The same cop said this or somebody else?
No, different cops have said it to me. The Rangers have said it to me. They said that they have a homeward bound program that the police and the Catholic Church do that'll actually send you back to where you're from. That way they don't have to deal with you anymore.
And where are you from?
I'm from the state of New York. So that's quite a long voyage.
Upstate New York?
Yeah, I'm from up by Buffalo, up by the Canadian border.
And we've been talking with?
Joshua Rave. My friends call me Smurf. I'm just kind soul, man. I just give stuff away if I have it. I give you my shirt off my back if I have, even if I don't have another one.
Thank you, Smurf.
Thank you, man. I hope you have a good night.
You too. Showtime will be on Thursday night. Madam, should I say dog lady?
Well, I don't want to be called dog lady.
Oh, puppy girl.
We need to plant more marijuana seeds.
Thank you.
Oh, I know.
Say that again?
She's 15 years old, and she deserves a quinceañera. She's been through hell as a 15 birthday party.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the quinceañera, that's what they give. They don't do anything like that for us white girls.
Well, I will leave you
and just treat you bad.
The quinceañera pooch. We've been listening to the thoughts of
Susan Worth.
Thanks, Susan. Any reports from the street?
Just spread love, brother.
Thank you.
And immediately after the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of Tuesday, and again, the issue of the River Street Camp, the lack of winter shelter, the lack of respect, and just taking into account the survival needs and the human reality needs of the vast majority of people outside with no shelter. Here's Mary talking about these issues.
So I'm outside the shitty council or city council.
I really want to go there.
It's 7:05.
Is this about me about to be interviewed?
Very briefly. Have a seat while you're all interviewing. So you don't
I don't want to. I stand up when I'm asked.
You're going to stand. Good. We're talking with.
I'm sorry?
We are talking with.
Oh.
Your name is?
Mary.
And Mary, you spoke at city council. Can you summarize what you said and what kind of hope you had? Well, if you had any hope for the council.
I have no hope.
Of course.
Well, actually, I wouldn't be here if I had hope. There are just a lot of things I want to change.
Now, what concerns do you particularly have about what happened here tonight?
What happens here tonight is that they started with unrealistic numbers. They're ignoring reality, which is true data of how many people out there need shelter. And they're overinflating what they can do and feeling all proud of, what, was it 60? 60 beds this winter?
60 beds? Yippee, now, come on now.
Yippee-ki-yay. You know? And I'm the person who's walking up and down that levee and interacting with people and counting heads and counting camps and going, wow, this really sucks. This is not working.
Well, I know that if you look at the winter shelter last year, which I'm no fan of, mind you, but they took people in on a first-come, first-served basis, whereas now they're going to be 60, well, let's say 40, maybe 60 plus 20 more in the camp that will be permanently ensconced. So you won't be able to walk up and get a place. So that's why I said there are less places than before. For the 60 people or the 80 people who are lucky to be in the camp,
yeah,
they will have a place. But for the rest of the population, the number of people that the winter shelter will serve will be significantly less.
Well, what winter shelter would that be? They weren't talking about those programs, and according to Captain Louder, who's the head of the Salvation Army, he hasn't heard a peep out of the city. He said last year they only called him a month before. How disrespectful is that? That just offends me. These people have been housing the homeless and helping the homeless for, what, 100 years? I don't know the actual history and the dates, but they wait until a month before to let him know he's going to be entertaining 65 people a night?
Well, I think, I hear you, and I think that last year there were two shelters. Yeah, there were two shelters last year. One was the shelter here
and one here at VFW.
And one at the VFW.
Plus, we had the benchlands. Plus, we had the 30 or 40 campsites just above the bedland, the benchlands going under Highway 1. Then we had several campsites in sometimes in groups of 20, 23. Whether they stayed on and the one stretch I'm thinking of, but now we've got a ton of people I haven't even counted or encountered all who have been forced out of the area north of Highway 1 into a place where the walkway is maybe 5 feet wide, and there's a tall hill and a steep embankment, and I don't know what's going on up there. I haven't had time to get up there and walk through that. Emergency services can't get in there.
You yourself live outside.
Yes, I go walk up there. Why not?
Have you been ticketed outside yourself?
No, I don't get ticketed because I don't go where I'm not supposed to. As a member of Downtown Streets, I am, and the levee team, when I have that shirt on, I am allowed to legally go all the way down to the river.
Right, but when you sleep at night, is there a legal place for you to sleep?
I am actually in a shelter. I'm very fortunate that way. Very small shelter.
And are you talking about the River Street campground?
No, I'm talking about Faith Community, which houses 18 people.
So you're lucky that way. If you were to estimate the number of people who get sheltered by churches, what would you estimate in the city?
I have no idea. As far as I know, just the 18 of us are sheltered by churches.
You're talking about the Association of Faith Communities Church.
Yes,
churches.
I'm talking about roof over your head sleep. I don't know that any churches do that. They may. I don't know.
Very few allow vehicles in their parking lots overnight.
Well, you know, and the safe parking program, okay, it's very important. I've talked to people. They're miserable. They have no place to park. Tons of them, you know, and so they will have safe parking. But how does that, you know, there you are sitting locked on a car in the pouring rain. You can't even open the windows to get fresh air. That is not...
But you get carbon monoxide if you need it. That's very good.
You can't turn on the heat. So,
the problem I see with that is that everybody complains about they don't have money for gas, right? So if they're talking about putting the safe parking out in the county, then how are the people going to get to town? Because that's already people are bumming out where they live on Delaware and stuff.
Probably Santa Cruz creates 25% of its own homeless problem because they do not have two simple things, storage and bus passes available to people who are still couch surfing, who still have friends who will put up with them, who are grasping the reality that if they don't get their butts to work, they're going to be on the street, you know. And so by not having those two simple programs available to them.
Again, the two programs are?
The programs for storage and for bus passes.
And the other voice you're hearing, of course, is mine, but also that of Keith McHenry, a Food Not Bombs activist, who, along with a bunch of us, spoke at the oral communications period on Tuesday, urging the city to open up bathrooms at the Loudoun Nelson Center and elsewhere around the city, which, as Brent Adams pointed out, is it's not a secondary concern, but it's a small part of a much larger concern, which is to acknowledge and protest and act against or in favor, at least in some other direction, of the city's complete ignoring of the both the fall and winter needs of the broader homeless community.
That they can get around. You know, you can require things of people who are homeless. You can insist that they go and get a card at EDD and use their services and prove it, you know, in exchange for this. So those people are falling out into the homeless population because they run out of places to stay because they can't get anywhere except on foot to get a job, and they have no place to keep their stuff.
What do you make of Brent's day and night storage?
Oh, I like it. I supported him. He said he wanted a slow start. I went around and just gave people the information in a very measured way, and he said that worked, and so fine. Yeah, I know people who are using it and are very satisfied. A lot of people initially were concerned. They're concerned about security, you know. But the first time I went, I didn't know the guy who was there. And I said, can I step up and look into the vehicle to see how he'd react? And he said, no. And I went, okay, this might work. You know, so people's possessions are safe. That means the world to them.
Mary, how long have you been a Santa Cruz person?
A Santa Cruz person since 1983.
And were you outside then, or were you indoors?
No, no. I've only been homeless. I had this horrendous accident. So as soon as I get around to getting the surgery I need, I hope to be off the streets in a couple of months. But obviously, this was a good job for me to get. You know, I'm retired, and I'm just dumbfounded by the stupidity, frankly.
By the dumb?
The whole homeless service system. It seems like most of those people don't have
system.
Management experience. Why not?
When you were working, did you know that this whole little homeless weird trip was going on?
You know, I've always, you know, I just say hi to anybody.
Right.
I'll talk to anybody. I'm interested in people who are mentally ill. I like listening about their alternative realities, you know? So, yes, before this happened, I was aware of homeless people. I would often give them whatever I could help with. Oops, sorry. Food.
But by becoming homeless yourself, you ended up learning about how the homeless service, most people tell you.
Homeless services are taking care of it.
Right,
well, they're not.
That's what people think, right, yeah. And that's what you thought before.
Yes.
You.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
We were paying taxes to have this work, you know, to see. And so I read about the armory. I still haven't been to the armory. I don't know what's going on with the armory.
There's no armory at the moment in terms of any
armory,
services.
But no one can stay there.
Right.
It's a building that no
Yeah, it's a building.
Go.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I know that now. And I had someone say to me, well, they should just take the armory and make apartments and give them to us. And I said, why should they? Just look kind of dumbfounded. I said, nobody ever gave me a free housing, you know? What are you willing to do for that? It's like no one, they assume we aren't willing to do anything or that we're helpless and hopeless and we can't do anything. You know, why aren't conditions put on this? If you want to stay at winter shelter, help out for a couple of hours. You know, do some chores, do some cleanup. Don't just sit there and watch the five people who volunteer. That was a real problem for me at winter shelter. Why are these people sitting around watching me work?
You know? You're so attractive.
Why aren't they required to do community service? The people in downtown streets love it that they're working again.
Yeah, right.
They love it.
You get some dignity.
Feels good. It feels good to them to be working again, to have something to do.
Half of them come in and say, I'm going around picking up trash
anyway. I'd rather like to get something for it.
Yeah, something. It doesn't have to be.
And yet we
great.
Are judged by the lowest and least, which are the 18-20% of us who are just lost to drugs and alcohol, and those who have mental illness. And that range goes from just plain nuts to, you know, people suffering from depression and stuff. And now it's Okunran to have PTSD and stuff. I'm sorry. I don't sound compassionate here, but I have watched people up around who hang around Coral Street going out of their way to be crazy.
The shelter that you have, does it have open bathrooms 24 hours?
Well, you mean for us?
Yes.
Well, we stay in churches,
church,
so they have bathrooms.
But
yes.
Not 24 hours.
Not 24 hours.
And she doesn't stay in a shelter 24 hours. They have to leave at the, during the day.
Yes, we get up and we usually leave by 7.
But at nighttime, do you have access to bathrooms?
Yes.
Okay. Well, not all of them do.
Well, I don't understand that.
I don't either. That's why I was asking.
I was going to suggest to the city council that they spend 24 hours going back to the bathroom, only using public facilities.
Right. Oh, that's a great idea.
Just a little interactive program. They're not used to me. You know, I'm not just one of those let's all love unconditionally and boundaryless. I think paths without boundaries are just minefield planes, you know. No.
But I
may be surprisingly tough in some of my attitudes towards the homeless, but you know what? They need to get up off their asses and stop acting like helpless children waiting for life to happen. And I have said this to them. Excuse me, I overwhelm you because I am a person who is living her life despite the fact that she is homeless. And you all seem to be waiting until you get a home to live your life. It can be gone before you figure that one out. So I don't know how all of this is going to happen. I just know that there are things I don't like, and I'm going to try to change them.
Hooray for you.
And you will give me a number you could be reached at?
I will. I'll give it to you right now, but you need to have a pencil.
I do, and I will. Hang on to it.
Mary.
Thank you, Mary. A speaker who was at city council actually tried to address the council.
Bye-bye,
and hey, good night, Keith. Okay. What are your thoughts, sir?
Oh, just that the people doing the camp planning project to increase the camp by 20 tents are probably hiding the fact that they are going to be removing other services, like especially the washing facilities and the bathing facilities, so they can put in those 20 tents. And that's the rumor going around, and I hope it's not true, because that would be terrible. Slipping with 70 V-balls, smelling like you know what. So, and the Homeless Services Center cannot take the overload. You can't just throw another 70 people out of the Homeless Services Center to take showers. It ain't going to work, so.
You've tried both these places yourself?
Oh, yes, of course. I've been here for 40 years, so I know what's going on.
Have they gotten, I call it the Homeless Lack of Services Center, but has that gotten better in the last 5 or 10 years, worse, different? What would you say?
It's okay. You can't count on it to live there or anything. But you can't get a decent meal the way you used to be able to. All you can do is go wash there, really. I mean,
can you just walk in even if you're not a member of the, if you're not in the Pauley law?
Anyone can walk in and take a shower.
And that's only, but that's
however,
the way to...
sometimes the line is a couple of hours long, so you may not want to do it. So
are the bathrooms open 24 hours or not?
No, they're not. Well, not to outsiders. They're only open, the showers are only a few hours a day, actually.
What about the bathroom just to use the toilet? Can you? Are they open?
Only go in during a certain hours. And, if you're inside, if you're living there, that's different. But
do you know what the hours are for visiting? Or?
No, I do not know. I do not know what the hours are for taking, what the limits are for taking bathrooms.
Now, are people
for taking using toilets.
The bathrooms during the day?
I know the limits for taking showers, but I don't know the ones for getting into the toilets. I don't think it's any different.
Can you visit people who are living in the Pauley loft? Because I know in the Boneyard River Street.
I don't try to do it. I never try to even bother doing it. I don't know if they'd let you do it, but I don't try.
And you've also tried the River Street campground. It was mentioned.
River Street campground's a really good thing. It gets a lot of people secure for a very low cost. If they do it right, they might be paying too much now and having too many employees, but it's a wonderful program otherwise. It's developed a very nice little homeless community, and they're not all just homeless, they're hobos. They like to work, but they can't always get enough work to pay for the high rents in this place, which are atrocious, you know. I mean, you just can't get jobs that pay that much money.
Do you know most of the folks in the campground, or just a few? Or?
Well, I know a lot of them.
And are they mostly local, mostly from out of town, mixture?
No, mostly long-timers.
Mostly long-timers. Now, what was said by, I think, either Tina or...
A lot of them are old.
Right on. What was
Some of them are wheelchair.
Dig it.
How do they really deal in the world when you're in a wheelchair and sleeping home?
In regard to what you were saying before, which is your concern that they might not be able to fit in 20 more tents there, what was said up front there by the staff, they said that, well, you can. What they're going to do is allow the fire lane to be used for that purpose.
Yes, the one that the shuttle bus drives down to let off people into park. And there's not room for 20 tents there, that's for sure.
So you think
so? It's going to have to be a lot more than that. They're going to have to take pretty much every extra square foot of space available there, and probably they're really planning on getting rid of the shower thing. So, which is a portable unit, say. It's a trailer. The showers in it, and half of them aren't even being used. And now they're going to bring in an extra 20 people and take away the showers so no one of them can be used, even though we have 20%.
Well, there's always the river nearby.
50% more people. Yeah, there's always a river nearby. No, they just emptied the river today, and it's a mud flat, basically.
Well, that's a new shelter area, you see. You could just go down there
and go to the mud flat.
Have a mud bath, right.
Yes.
And I won't ask you your name unless you want to volunteer it, but anything else you want to say? Any other thoughts?
No, that's good enough for right now. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be played on free radio on...
And that all happened outside the Santa Cruz City Council meeting afterward. As the sun dropped lower in the sky. Just a couple of quick notes for those who are interested. The Public Safety Committee, which is supposed to oversee the police and fire, but actually mostly serves as a cheering section or a rubber stamping for those departments, or at least for the police department, or at least it doesn't concern itself with the issues that I continue to raise again and again: racial profiling, class profiling, use of force, lack of accountability and transparency. They do have their audio finally posted online. So if you want to hear what they're, I think they have two to four open hearings a year. And you can actually go listen to them on the city's website. On Sunday, I'm going to be probably going through a number of things, although I often promise stuff that I don't do because of timing conflicts and other problems that come up. But I'm hoping to do some further Salinas RV look-see and see what's going on there. I've got, We've made a recording of an entire session with Sandy Brown and Chris Crone, two city council members who supposedly have a regular Monday meeting, or it depends on who you talk to about it, if you a scheduled Monday meeting, if you schedule it, or maybe they'll be there if they can, you know, I don't want to say if they feel like it, that doesn't sound good, but maybe it's the way it is. Some interviews at the rent control, the part of the forum of the Democratic Women's Club happening last week that concerned rent control, some street interviews, perhaps a slice from the Conscience and Action meeting, which is planning a protest, and then a very kind of a grim story of the seizure of a baby from a homeless couple, and their struggle now to get it back, and we'll be getting into that on Sunday. So tune in at 9:30 if you'd like to hear what's going on. Let's go out on Barrel of Pain by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and I think Young as well, but sometimes those guys drop off the last guy. No, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Barrel of Pain.
When I lived in San Francisco, I could see the Farallon Islands from my kitchen window. And it was a very beautiful sight until I realized that they'd been dropping barrels of nuclear waste at the bottom of the ocean right there where we live. So I wrote a song about it because it pissed me off, same as everybody else. But you know something? Maybe the success of the vote, maybe voting is the way to go. The nuclear freeze initiative sure thinks so, I'll tell you that. It's one from the No Nukes movie called A Barrel of Pain.
People so know how to suffer.